Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Ire, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
So first and foremost, I want to greet all our branches around the world that are connected right now. So in all, I think more than 44 centers around the world, they had their own praise and worship, their own prayer, but now they are connected. So I greet you around the world, in United Kingdom, in Canada, the whole of North America, USA. God bless you. Ibadan, Port Harcourt, Ikorodu, Egbeda, Victoria Island, and all of you, God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. All right. The things on my mind can be summarized with three scriptures. And so we're just going to start and go through those three scriptures, and you will understand what's in my spirit right now and what the Lord will have us meditate on right now. The three scriptures will be James chapter 4 from verse 13 to 14, Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23, and Psalm chapter 20 verse 7. More often than not, my sermons, even if I don't say so, would like to first answer the question why. It's called justification of the study in research. And the reason that's important is because I think a wise man said, where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse then becomes inevitable. So why are we here? Why do we celebrate watch night services? Is it because every other church is doing it? What should be our mentality? What should be our understanding? Because a lot of people don't get it. So James chapter 4 verse 13 to 14, listen, I know that some of you have been in church all your lives and you have never seen this text. And I want you to know, I hate to admit it, it's deliberate. Most charismatic Pentecostal churches deliberately avoid these texts because they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with it. It just rocks their boat, their theological boat, in a way that they cannot recover. Do you know what it says? It says, come now, come. That sounds Nigeria. Come now. You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit. Now, he's referring to people who have brilliant plans because you've been taught in management science, how to set goals, smart. The S is for this. Now, I do that. But now there's a spiritual caveat. It says, those of you who have plans for real estate, plans for marrying, plans for relocation, plans, you know, everyone around the world is making plans. You know, they have places where they've written things and pasted it at the different corners of their house. He says, well, come now, this is for you. Verse 14, he says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, you don't know. Brave of you to just bring out some boards and write some things and set some goals and set timelines. I'm going to do this and make this profit and buy this house and do all of it. He said, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Listen, it takes humility to admit this. You don't know. And then it gets deeper, and I dare say scarier. He says, for what is your life? Listen, as important as your life is to you, when you zoom out and look at it from an eternal standpoint, even just looking at the cosmos and how small the whole planet Earth is, from the scope of eternity, how much smaller you are. You're just a speck of dust. In fact, you are too small to be called a speck of dust in the scope of eternity. So he's asking you, what is your life? And then you know what he says? It says it's like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Those of you who have had to face the unfortunate circumstance of seeing someone who has died, especially someone who you knew when he was alive, that's when you realize how fickle life is. The first time I experienced it, I was but a child. And this was a family friend that we loved very much. And my parents got news, he's gone. And so we went there. And so I saw this man lying in the coffin, lifeless. His nose still looked the same. His eyes still looked the same. Everything about him looked the same. And of course, because of how our tradition is, he was well dressed in the coffin. I was so young, still in primary school. But that was the first time it dawned on me that what makes a person is not what we see on the outside. So that's why James, he says, your life is a vapor. Any other thing is just the kissing. Your life is a vapor that appears for a while. Thank God for the hope and promise of long life, but it is still for a while. If it is 90 years, it is for a while. If it is 80 years, it is for a while. If it is 70 years, it is for a while. Are you listening to me? I know this is not the kind of sermon you came to listen to on a night like this, but I'm headed somewhere. You know what, James? Now, this, if it is some atheist, some agnostic telling you this, you know what to do with that information. But this is right there in your Bible. Now, let me ask you this, if you're going to be honest. How many of you have never seen these verses before? Wave at me. Let me see those of you who will be honest. Thank you for your honesty. So if it was someone who was agnostic who was telling you this, you rebuke him and you put him in his place. But it's right there. An apostle is telling you this. You know what that tells us? It tells you that there is no strategic way to know for sure that a coming year will be a good year. It is beyond mental assent. It is beyond the realm of strategy. It is beyond the realm of planning. It is beyond the realm of... See, so now this is what James now says. Look at verse 15. He tells you how you ought to approach this. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, listen to me, you are literally at the mercy of the Father's will. And so when we are talking about the reason why we have watch night service, it is a corporate admission of helplessness, except the Lord helps us. Are you listening to me? I said, watch night services are a corporate admission of helplessness, that except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches a city, watches your family, watches over your health, it is vain to stay up at night. It's vain. It's vain. And that leads me to the next verse, the next text I was going to read. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Everybody read together loud as you can. One, two, go. It's an exclamation. Oh Lord! I know that the way of man is not in himself. Listen to me. If you don't know this yet, you have not lived long enough. Thank God for planning. Brilliant steps. Brilliant. You see, there is a lot you can do to be responsible. There is a lot you can do within your power. The sovereign God has given you free will. I've told you that. Come on, are you with me? But if you've lived long enough, you connect the dots and see that this thing doesn't always add up exactly. You know, I was reading a story about a guy. He's a coach and a health enthusiast, gym rat, and all of that. Educating people about the right diet, fitness, and all of that. And you know, his mantra is literally like, if you want to live long, this is how to live your life. Now, he sleeps at 28, has a cardiac arrest, and doesn't wake up. I'm not trying to scare you. These things happen. Do you not know? It's not an affront to the power of God. It's just, I'm headed somewhere. You know, and it looks like somehow there's a kind of dark humor there that sometimes is the people who are most particular. You know, there's a relative, oh, am I allowed to say this? There's a relative I love very much. And because he loves me, he will forgive me. But you see, during COVID, na in careful pass. Monitoring everybody. Ah, don't go to gatherings. What are you doing? Because he caught COVID twice. There's dark humor right there. It's not in man to direct himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Do you believe in divine help? Trusting in the Lord is a strategy. I don't know about you, but that's why I'm here. I'm here to say there is no other name that I know, no other hope that I have. And that is why, as a believer who understands these things, your approach to planning and strategy is different. And that leads me to the third text, Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. This is what David says. This is his mentality. So now listen to me. Those who know the Lord, your planning and your strategy is now different. So he's making a differentiation from those who know the Lord and those who don't. Now, he says some somewhere in some pockets of the earth. Believe it or not, not everybody is at watch night service. I told you this is the justification of the story. Why are we here? There are many people who are convinced that you are a fool just for being here. He says some trust in chariots. So their own approach to the new year is just brain, gumption. So some trust in chariots. Are you listening to me? And some in horses. It says, but we are explaining why we're here. For those who are asking you, what are you doing? What are you not wasting your time? There are other things to do. Rest, plan for the new year. And just imagine the things. Hey, some trust in horses. Yeah, that's their strategy. Others in chariots. But we will remember. Listen to me. In case you don't know why we're here, we are here to remember. We are here to remember and to say it is not our arm or our strength or our sword or our intelligence that has brought us this far. He that told you have helped us. I want to give you 10 seconds to tell that to the Lord. I remember. Let me ask you a simple question. With all your planning and strategy, what happens when you sleep? What happens when you sleep? Do you know how scary it is that whilst you are sleeping for hours, you must not stop breathing? If you stop breathing, you are in trouble. Yet you can't control the breathing. You are sleeping and you don't even know that you are breathing. But the breathing is important for your survival. How do you explain this? Think about it. Every night without fail, by the mercy of God, you wake up from sleep. How? You don't know. You can't explain it. You just know that you sleep and you wake up. I think sleep is a parable, a spiritual reminder that it's not you. It's not you. It's not you. It's not in man to direct his own ways. I'm the one who wakes you up. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. But me and my house, we are here to remember. Nagode. Ubangiji. Yesu. Nabaka. Godia. Anybody grateful? Sariki dunia. Yeah. Thank you, sir. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to me. I'm about to show you something powerful. That text says Psalm 20 verse 7. It says some trust in chariots, others in horses. It says, but we remember Hebrew word zakah. Now, when you look at that text and it says some trust in horses, others in chariots, but I will remember the name of the Lord. Remember, for many people, you would think it means to just trust in the Lord. I will trust the name of the Lord. Not just that. The Hebrew word zakah means to bring something from the past to the present. Pay attention. To remember, it means he's making a reference point, influence his future conviction. I remember. I'm bringing an awareness to the fore. Hi. Picture this. I hope you know he's talking about warfare. So, others are going to battle, trusting their armory. And from a logical standpoint, that makes sense. Make no mistake, that makes sense. I don't have time to talk about the extreme. The problem with many people is that those who pray don't plan, and those who plan don't pray. And God will have you walk in the balance of both. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? But it should get your attention that is that while some trust in horses, just imagine, there is an opposition in front of you, and some are trusting in their armory. Some in horses, others in chariots. He said, I will remember the Lord of hosts. This is a strategy for battle. So, first and foremost, don't forget the flow of thought. I have told you that logically, there is no assurance that 2026 will be a good year. None. So now, this is now the spiritual strategy. Hey. And the reason why this has to be taught is because there are so many books on prayer, so many books on fasting, not many on remembrance. And I tell you, it is a very powerful principle. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 20. I want to show you something. Verse 1, just the first verse of that same chapter. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Say aloud, amen. Amen. Now, he says, may the name of the God of Jacob. See, when a Bible writer talks like this, he knows that by saying this, he will cast your mind to a track record. He calls him the name of the God of Jacob, because when you talk about the God of Jacob, your mind immediately flashes back to many incidences that happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm explaining the principle of remembrance as a strategy. The faithfulness of God in the past is strategy for the future. So right now at this watch night service, December 31st, how do I know that what is in front of me will be sorted? I look back. Oh, Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The Bible says, and we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And what? Do you have a testimony? See, this is a powerful principle. When God does something for you, he has settled every similar thing in the future. See, I want to establish this theologically. Turn your Bibles, Matthew 16. I want to show you something. Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, verse 6, I'm not going to read everything verbatim, but I want you to follow closely. In verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples to take heed and beware of the leaven, that is the bread, of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, Jesus spoke in those ways. Many times Jesus sounded vague. What do you mean? What do you mean? So, maybe they did not want to embarrass themselves. So they were whispering to themselves, What? Leaven of the Pharisees. This man started again. What do you think he means by that? And they must have given many suggestions. And then they concluded, okay, maybe because we forgot to carry bread, he's asking us when we go there and the Pharisees and the Sadducees offer us bread, we should say no, like African children that are well brought up. Now, from a logical standpoint, this is a simple misunderstanding. After all, Jesus, you were speaking in vague terms. They didn't understand you. Move on. But Jesus took offense. You know what Jesus said? He said, "O ye of little faith." He rebuked them instantly. He said, you suddenly think it's a problem that you forgot to carry bread. I'm headed somewhere. He said, "Have you forgotten the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Have you forgotten the 7 loaves and 2 fish? He says, "Why do you still doubt?" Now, here is the thing. When God performed those miracles, he did not tell them that because he has performed this, they will not lack bread in future. He expected them. Are you getting what I'm saying? He expected them to come up with that conclusion on their own. And without telling them. So when they came to the same challenge and they responded the same way they were responding in the past, he was angry. I don't have to tell you. See, listen to me. The moment Jesus has solved a problem for you, he doesn't have to assure you about that thing again in your life. If you understand what I'm saying, I said the moment Jesus does something for you, not only does he need not to assure you about any such thing in the future, if you doubt him, it's unbelief. So let me bring it to your context. Here you are, anxious about your finances in 2026. Has there been a time in your life your back was against the wall? You didn't know where the school fees will come from. And suddenly, come on, are you listening to me? This is how you are. Come on. I said the faithfulness of God in the past is confidence for the future. Are you listening to me? If you've ever witnessed the healing power of God, where the doctor said, "We don't really know what to do," and somehow you got up from that bed and you are here. If you've ever seen the faithfulness of God over your family, maybe one time you were journeying and you almost had an accident, or even had an accident and almost died. But here you are. I said the faithfulness of God in the past is conviction for the future. On a night like this, we look back and we say, God, who was faithful in 2023, faithful in 2024, because I know the path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. It can only get better. And so on a night like this, some trust in horses, others in chariots. But one thing I know how to do, to remember. I remember when I was 15 and I almost died. I remember, hey! I remember. This was the story of David. You know, I've told you this many times. God did not tell David to fight Goliath. He did not tell him. You know what that also tells me? There are some things God is convinced he never needs to speak to you about again. Don't be surprised. For some of you who are wondering, night like this, God still hasn't spoken to me. I'm telling you why. You've been praying. After praying, you only felt peace. You didn't hear anything. I'm telling you why. For some of you, you will not hear anything. Because guess what? You don't need to. The Lord who delivered the lion and the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Are you listening to me? What is this mountain before Zerubbabel? Before Emmanuel ran? Hey! Listen. David put it this way. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And do what? Forget not. There are many people who know how to pray, but they don't know how to remember. I call it spiritual stock taking. On a day like this, a strategy for the future, you start writing. Remember when my cousin almost died? We saw the hand of God. We saw it. Lord, I remember. As I go forward, I remember. I remember the God of Jacob. Hey! Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But I remember. David is reminding you, who redeems your life from destruction? He renews your youth. Come on, are you listening to me? He forgives your sin, separates it from you, far as the east is from the west. Satisfies your mouth with good things. He said, remember that. On a night like this, remember. And when you do that, you bless him. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So on a night like this, you say 2026 is sorted. Woo-hoo! Hey. Sorted. Sorted by the favor of God. Sorted by the kairos of God. I know you know that text, but let's read it together. It says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not. Verse 3. 1, 2, go. Who forgives and who does what? Listen to me. You know, there are some things we take for granted. Sicknesses that we recovered from that others died for. Are you aware people die of malaria? He heals all my diseases. Listen, this is not part of my sermon, but can I give you 10 seconds? Every time I fell sick and recovered, thank you, sir. There might even be something you are trusting him to heal now. Thank him well for this one. Thank him well. Thank him well. You had a headache. You took Panadol and got better. Ah. I assure you, there are some people who took it and didn't recover. Thank him. Hallelujah. Look at what it says in the next verse. Verse 4. It says, who redeems your life? I. Have you been driving on the road? And on the same road, you saw others. You know, there is something that I've seen a few times. That you're driving on the road, you saw somebody maybe beside you, then you went in front to see him upside down. He redeems your life from destruction. Every time that I should have died and I didn't die, The ones I know of, the ones I don't even know. Thank you, Lord. I give you a few seconds. Make this count, oh. That is why your name is forevermore. You've been faithful.
Hallelujah.
He said he crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I don't know if there are some things in your life, you know, Lord, I pray, I fast, but this one is mercy. This one is mercy. This one, I don't deserve, I know, you and I know, I don't deserve this one. He crowned my life with loving kindness and tender mercy. Have you felt the pampering of God before? Tender love, tender mercy. This is how you approach the new year. You look back. So when you see any challenge in front, you look for what resembles it at the back. Okay. Giant lion. Giant bear. I get your type for house. I have handled things like this. The relics are on the shelf. Hi, please be seated. Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, but it gets better because I assure you, there may be some things you experience in the future that you have not experienced before, especially if you are young. But this is the beauty of the kingdom. It doesn't have to be your own personal testimony. It doesn't have to be your own personal testimony. That's literally why it says, the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Meaning, even if it is the generation past, if it is documented and I can look at it and release my faith for it and do what they did, I will see what they saw. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Oh, this is powerful. This is a convictional. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Are you listening to me? For anything you face, believe me, there are people who have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And so the Bible says that the things which are written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, may find hope. You read some stories. Have you ever read testimonies and it stirred you up before? And you were just like, God, you are powerful. Someone else's testimony. God, you are powerful. God, you are powerful. Hallelujah. You see, I show you a mystery. In Exodus 16, don't forget, God was feeding a generation miraculously. Bread was falling from the sky every day for 40 years. And God wanted to flex his ability to feed them daily. He didn't create a big oven or a big deep freezer to store the bread. He said, don't worry. Without fail, I will feed you daily. Eh? And any bread that was left behind yesterday will be bad by the next day. Just to force them to trust in him every day. Now, when you're hearing all the stories, you'll be like, what? I remember. I mean, I wonder what it would have been like. But God now told them to do something. Oh my God, I think I should read it to you. Look at Exodus 16, verses 33 to 34. I'm taking my time. I don't just want you to be excited. I want you to see how grounded this is as a theological framework. See, Jesus Christ, this is powerful. Some of you will get this. I'm about to read to you how to sustain revival from one generation to another. So there is a generation that saw manna every day. And this is what God did. The Bible says, and Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer, omer is a measurement, an omer of manna in it and lay it before the Lord to be kept for your generations. So that when a generation is asking, can God provide? They just show them. So God did something. Every other manna will get spoiled after 24 hours, but this one will stay as a witness. I'm sharing with you a powerful principle. Because God knows that if I can preserve the witness of power, power is replicable. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I wish I had more time to delve deeper into this and show you that every time a revival died, it wasn't because God was tired. It was because the people failed to preserve the evidence of the move of God like this. Moses knew how to preserve the work of God from generation to generation. He said, keep it. Let them see. Your children need to see manna. They need to see what it looked like. Are you listening to me? And so God does this deliberately because he knows that for his power to transcend generations, it won't just take prayer, it won't just take fasting, it will take remembrance. And some of you, you know how to pray, and rightly so, you know how to fast, but this one thing is a powerful tool on a night like this. You see, by the way, when we're talking about watch night service, crossover, where does the idea of crossover come from? You know, I hope you know that they borrow a leaf from Exodus, right? Now, what happened on that night before they left Egypt? God said, you're going to sit together and eat what he called the Passover. And he said, this Passover, you will eat it every year as a remembrance. Now, listen to me, you. God doesn't have to part the ocean every year. If I do it once, and you have the devotional infrastructure to recall it, there will be no generation lacking my power. So you see how important this is. Let me read the scriptures to you. Are you here? Are you getting blessed? See, if you get this thing, Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. I want to show you what he said. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Verse 27. That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households, so the people bowed their heads and worshiped. So are you getting what I'm saying? A time is going to come. Your children and your children's children will not really understand this. So they will ask you. So he's telling them why he's instituting it. He wants to find an excuse to remind them annually. Jesus Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but can I give you a secret? Some of you have been missing an avenue to see miracles in your house because there is something notable that God did. You celebrated it for 7 days and that was it. You need an anniversary. See, I'm not here to excite you. I'm telling you. You need an anniversary. Yeah? Some of you have been in a car crash before and came out. You came out like that? Maybe in the same crash, others died. You came out, you need an anniversary. A memorial. See, I am teaching you how to sustain miracles in your life. This simple thing. Especially if you are the man in the house. It happened when you were single. If you had died, you wouldn't have had children. So it makes sense to gather the children once a year. You came to this earth because God preserved me on this date. Let us worship God. Even if it's 30 minutes. I hope you know I'm not joking. It shall be a memorial. Exodus 12:14. It shall be a memorial. So there were four ways God taught his people to remember. Four ways. More than four, but there are four I want to touch on. All right? One of them was the Passover. That manna in the jar is an additional one. You can add that as bonus points. Another one is songs. Songs. See, let me tell you something. Stop reducing songwriting to something only people gifted with music can do. It's a spiritual mystery you're missing. Write your own songs. Songs that convey an experience that only you and God remember. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can put specific events in the song. It's powerful. Even if you, some of you, you sing off key, some of you sing on key, some of you have no key at all. None whatsoever. It's not about the musical. Write the song, sing it like that. I see, God will enjoy it. And if God enjoys it, it doesn't care, it doesn't matter. Just don't sing during service. But you know, Deuteronomy 13:31, verse 19. This is the hidden mystery of songs. And you know, and I've been sharing on this text a lot of times this year. It says, now therefore, write down these songs for yourself and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So now, even from the energy of God speaking, you can tell that he doesn't want nonsense. How can I show you such great deliverance and you forget? So the reason why I want you to sing about it is so that you will have no excuse tomorrow when there is trouble to say you did not know I can intervene in that way. Come on, it's in your songs. So let me tell you something. I'm not trying, just in case you don't know, every time you sing, he's a miracle working God, and then there's a problem, and you act like a pagan. God said, it's right there. He said that song is a witness against you. So you know he's a miracle working God. You know. Songs help you remember. For the children of Israel, manna, Passover. I'm showing you what happened. This is important. And then something else. Altars. They raised up altars. Have you noticed? A patriarch of the faith will encounter God and raise up an altar. It's a memorial. It's a memorial. It's a memorial. So when anyone is passing, even if there is no explanation, when they see the stones, they will know someone encountered a spirit here. It must be commemorated. Come on, are you listening to me? Altars. Joshua chapter 24, verse 27. Joshua said, this stone shall be a witness between us. Oh my God. Oh, I wish I had more time to talk about this. Joshua said this to all the people. Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord. This is now. This is interesting. God is saying, some of you have shown you so much goodness that even the inanimate objects that were around when I did it, they took notes. And in case you think Joshua is tripping by saying this, don't forget that the only difference between you and stone is the breath of God. That for the first man to be made, God literally gathered clay, are you listening? And breathed into it. And so it should make sense to you why Jesus is now saying, if you don't praise me, these stones will cry out. Because these stones recognize the privilege that some of us don't recognize. The only difference between us is mercy. It literally could have been us. The roles could have been reversed. Oh, yes. If I had the chance, I would worship. Look at these ones with mouth, with ears, with everything. And then, come on, are you listening to me? It's a big deal to remember what God has done. Big deal. I'm going to rush with this now. Are you being blessed? The reason I'm taking my time is because I don't just want to get you excited. I want you to understand that this is well established. In fact, there is a name, a single name. That's why the choir was so spot on with that song. There's a single name that describes it. It's called Ebenezer. All right? Are you listening to me? Eben means stone. Ezer means help. Ebenezer means stone of help. That when someone encountered the help of God, he raised up an altar as an eternal witness. Are you listening to me? I want to preserve the memory of this encounter so that the future can be sorted. Say with me, say stone of help. And what are the things that it represents? Four things. Number one, thanksgiving. Very simple, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 7. All right. There were so many things that led up to this, but the summary is this. The Philistines came against the children of Israel. Came against the children of Israel to fight them. And God rose up in a way that it was clearly divine. It wasn't part human effort and partly God. God just confitted the whole Philistines. And so they raised up a memorial stone. Are you listening to me? They raised up a memorial stone and called it Ebenezer. Verse 12 of 1 Samuel 7. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name Ebenezer, saying, thus far. Is there anybody who can relate to this? Is there anything in your life that it was clear? This is the hand of God. This one. But for the hand of God, I will not be here. That business could have died. My child would have been in trouble. You know, thus far, the fact that I'm even seated in this hall, thus far. Come on, are you listening to me? For thanksgiving. And don't forget, I said, if you don't thank him, the stones will cry out. Thus far, you have helped me. Thus far. Thus far. Thus far. Thus far. There must be a generation that knows how to remember. Look at the journey. Look at the journey. Sometimes you are too obsessed thinking about the things that you want currently. So much so that you have forgotten how far. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have even forgotten that where you are now was once your prayer point. Are you listening to me? This is very important too. Before we talk about 2026, acknowledge 25. Acknowledge all the years before. Come on, are you listening to me? Now, somebody is saying, honestly, Pastor, 2025 wasn't a good year for me. Don't forget the principle of the Passover. I said, even on the years where God did not part the ocean, if he did it once, it's still worth celebrating. Thus far. Are you listening to me? Say with me, say, thus far, you have helped me. Say, hitherto, all my life journey till now, it's been your hand. I give you 10 seconds. Tell that to him. 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 I'm still that boy, sir. So many of the things you told me, you have already done. Thus far, you have helped me. It's your hand, oh God. I acknowledge you. 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 Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. The second principle of the Ebenezer. Ebenezer will push you to repentance and genuine devotion. I would explain it. Now, those of you who are familiar with the narrative of 1 Samuel, in chapter 4, when they had the first battle with the Philistines, these people who were not really aligned with the Lord in their rebellion. Because you know, there's people like that who have just begun to use Jesus as a wand. They trust God for the things that he can give and not for who he is. These are people who play church. You know that you have not really trusted in God. Your walk with God has been shaky. But you know how to run to him when there is trouble. This is what they did. You not living a life that was pleasing to him, serving other gods. But when there was trouble and they were losing the battle, somebody said, bring us the ark. Bring us the ark. Weaponizing the ark, not for relationship, but for results. Some of you, that's what you are doing now. Maybe you are here in this service. This is the first time we are seeing you in months. You are here because it's watch night service. And you are using God like that. Now, that day, see, even the Philistines had honor for the ark, because when they saw the ark coming, fear, great fear dropped on them. But because the people were not aligned with God, the Philistines won and seized the ark. I'm telling you, listen to me. In 2026, you are not going to use God. Did you hear what I said? On a night like this, an Ebenezer night like this, you set your heart and let the Lord deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. It's part of it. It's part of the requirements. It's part of the requirements. So number one is thanksgiving. Number two, there must be self-introspection. You know how the Bible put it? It says, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil and he shall flee. There must first be repentance. Readjustments. Then resist the devil and he shall flee. Are you listening to me? As I'm saying it, some of you know exactly what needs to be dealt with in your heart and in your life right now. I want to give you a few minutes. Deal with it. Forget who is by your side. Deal with it right now. This is the requirement. Only people who have truly bowed a knee to God in submission will enjoy the backing of God. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. For some of you, it's an instruction he gave you that you have not been doing. An instruction that you have just left unattended. On a night like this, are you listening to me? It's a time for reassessment, reassessment. Reassess your priorities. Hallelujah. It might be an instruction, a practical instruction on how to live your life, a practical instruction on how to raise your children, on how to love your spouse, on the priorities in your career. It might even be your health. I know you trust him for healing, but he doesn't like the way you are eating. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So on a night like this, trust in God will make you put some things in order. Put some things in order. There must be order in your life. Are you listening to me? And it so happened, you know, that's where the name Ichabod came. Because when they seized the ark, a child was born in that period, the mother died, and then the child was called Ichabod. The glory has departed. But now, listen, there was restoration in chapter 7. Because when the people came to the Lord, repented, raised up an altar. Now, listen to me. The same territory that they lost, the Philistines came to fight again, and this time around they won by the help of God. It was now at that same place that they raised up an altar and called it Ebenezer. Can I prophesy? Every ground you lost due to carelessness, this year is a year of recovery. Every ground you lost due to lack of sensitivity, this new year is a year of recovery. Every ground you lost in any way, lack of sensitivity, has affected any aspect of your life. I said, this is the year of recovery. For some of you, you missed the timing. God said, act now. You second-guessed. You over-calculated. And you missed the season. Listen, I said, by the mercy of God, this is the year of recovery.
Be seated for a bit.
And now the next point speaks to the idea of a crossover. Because listen to me, when they did that stone and they placed that stone, it now became a boundary marker. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was now a clear separation between the mistakes of the past and God's prophetic destiny going forward. Hitherto, God has helped us. It's a new prophetic beginning, a new beginning. And this is the prophetic wisdom behind Watch Night services, that we can have a new beginning. No matter how terrible it has been, I might have been goofing in the past, made many mistakes, but listen, on a night like this, I can raise up a new altar and say, from hence, are you getting what I'm saying? A new boundary marker. A new boundary marker. And like I told you, all that has been lost has been and will be recovered. A new boundary marker. A new boundary marker. And say, in the past, I wasn't prayerful. Not anymore. This new year, are you listening to me? This new year, I'm going to hold on to the Lord and trust in him in a way that is visible to the blind and audible to the deaf. I'm going to walk his word in my life. Put his word to work. I'm going to be serious with my consecration. Serious in my trust in his name. Serious in my discernment. I'm not going to miss devotion this year. Not one day. Not one day. Are you listening? Not one day. Not one day. This is the night to make such decisions. Boundary markers. For some of you, this is the last time forever you'll be able to count 2 days you didn't pray. 2 full days. Boundary marker. It's a new beginning. See, it's a new beginning of consecration. New beginning. You will write some things. I'm going to give you time, all right, to talk to the Lord. The Lord is speaking to some of you already. Boundary markers. the kind of friends to keep. Boundary markers, the kind of things not to do, the kind of places not to go. Boundary markers. To be sure you're following, what's number one? What's number two? What's number three? Boundary marker. That's what it represents. And number four is prophecy. Did you hear what I said? Why do we gather on a night like this? It's because by the advantage of the Spirit, tomorrow doesn't have to be a surprise. Because the one who we serve is Alpha and Omega and everything in between. Are you listening to me? He's the one who declares the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things yet not done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. When you side with such a person, your life will not be a surprise. We have the advantage of prophecy on a night like this. And the strategy of Ebenezer is this. That his faithfulness in the past is the prophecy of the future. God, I've seen you take care of men. I've seen it in the Bible. I've seen it in my life. I know tomorrow is sorted. Are you listening to me? Tomorrow is sorted. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 54. You know, I heard someone quote this text and it blessed me in no small way. Luke chapter 1 verse 54. Feel free to put your name there. Are you ready? One, two, go. He has helped his servant, Emmanuel Ire, in remembrance. This is the summary of 2026 for me. He has helped his servant Emmanuel Iren in remembrance of his mercy. In my finances, the help of God. In my health, the help of God. In my ministry, the help of God. He has helped. 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 In remembrance of your mercy, you have helped. Divine help is mine. 2026 is sorted. He has helped Emmanuel Iren. In remembrance of his mercy, he has helped him. Oh, my town, Praskavalande le kubara katalada. December 2026, this is my testimony. You helped Emmanuel Iren. Not by my works, but in remembrance of your mercy. Kalapakapaya. Bana, oh, bana. Bana, oh, bana. Bana, oh, bana. Your banner over me is love. Banner, oh, is this your conviction? Banner, oh, banner. Banner, oh, banner. Your banner over me. Helper, helper, oh. Oh!
Listen. Listen to me. Let me explain what we are doing. 2026, we'll see you coming with the banner of the Lord. And when the mountains see that, they know what to do. When the rivers see that, they know what to do. The Bible says, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Your banner, oh, boasting his love about you. Come on, say it. Come on, follow me. Hey. January to December, you're my banner. 2026, you're my banner. And my finances, you're my banner. You're my banner. You're my banner. In my health, you're my banner. In case you don't understand what we are doing, I'm telling you that if all you did on a night like this was brag about the goodness of God and praise him, it is worth it. Thank you, Lord. There's another song that says, Ebenezer. 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 Come on! Ebenezer. When I was down, you lift me. And when I'm down,
you lift me up.
Come on!
My soul loves you. Only you are my helper.
Hallelujah.
Before I move on, you have business to do. Pick out your notepad. It is time for spiritual stock keeping. Think deeply and write. If you are here, you don't know anybody personally, and in your own life, you claim not to have seen the goodness of God, think of Bible stories, write it. Let me tell you what to do. Put it under subtopics, ministry. Who has God helped that you know? Health, finances. This is your strategy for the new year. Some of you will need Ebenezer anniversary in your family. Some of you, God did not take away poverty gradually. He did it in one sweep. One sweep. Bam! And ended it forever in your lineage. That's not that. When God does something of generational impact, that's something to remember. You are going to need a date for that. Feel free to make it watch night service. That's what the essence of what I'm telling you. Or after watch night service, at some point on New Year's Day, gather the family and say, "See how far you've brought. So I've come to work. See
how far you
love
me. Lord, I've come to worship you."
Listen to me. I was lying in my bed. You know, it's unlike me for someone who likes to be topical in teaching things like this. But since I started preaching, I have never preached on Ebenezer before. Never. Those of you who are OGs know. Never. I was lying in my bed and I heard it clearly. Ebenezer. 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 This is the prophetic word for 2026. Listen to me. I think when it comes to divine help, I know a thing or two about it. And the one who has helped this ministry is asking me to tell you that the prophetic word for the CCI family for 2026, this is the word of the Lord. Done in the past is but the tip of the iceberg. I only did that to show you what is possible and what is coming. CCI family, the year 2026 is Ebenezer 2026. Listen to me. You see, this revelation is how David never lost a battle. This revelation is what made Israel dangerous. Are you listening to me? Say with me, in the year 2026, I will see the help of God. Listen to me. Listen. I know what I'm doing, oh. I'm looking at the time. I know it's not time. I want to give you, even when 12 has crossed. Okay, let's get this out of the way. Thank you, Jesus.
Ebenezer,
Ebenezer,
come on! Listen to me. Do you believe in the prophetic? Sing over your life. Say, Ebenezer. When you see the goodness of God and people ask how, you say, Ebenezer. When I cry,
you answer me.
Do you believe it? And when I'm down, come on.
You lift me up.
Come on.
My song of help, only you are my helper.
When I cry,
you answer me.
And when I'm down, no.
You lift me up.
Hey.
My song of help, only you are my helper.
CCI family, Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Listen to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's take some confessions. Shout from your spirit. Shout, Ebenezer! Say, thus far you have helped me. Shout it again. Say, Ebenezer! Thus far you have helped me. You have helped Emmanuel Iren in remembrance of your mercy. You have helped me in the past. You have helped me now. Even further, you will help me. In 2026, I celebrate new beginnings. Tonight becomes a boundary marker. I cross over into divine help. I recover all that I lost. The rock of ages is my fortress. Say, I raise up my Ebenezer in 2026. As for me and everyone connected to me, we are surrounded with songs of deliverance, with songs of overwhelming help. I raise up Ebenezer
in my health. God who preserved my body. Healed diseases in the past. By his help, I walk in strength. I walk in fruitfulness. I walk in soundness. I walk in vitality. I raise up my Ebenezer. In my finances, I raise up my banner. In my finances, the Lord who has sustained me, he will not fail me now. As he fed Israel in the wilderness, he supplies all my needs. Say, by the help of God, I receive help to be in the right places, at the right time, with the right people. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I raise up my Ebenezer in my career and in the works of my hands. Say, the Lord orders my steps. Say it again, the Lord orders my steps. Say, he establishes the works of my hands. He grants me favor on every side. He grants me wisdom on every side. I raise up my Ebenezer in my family. Peace, unity, and grace abound in my household. I raise up my Ebenezer over my calling, over my ministry, over Celebration Church. God who has called us is faithful. He has strengthened us, preserved us from error, sustained the consistency of our walk. So in the year 2026, this is the order of my life. Fervency in my devotion. Fire on my altar. Thanksgiving every day. Ebenezer on Monday. Help on Tuesday. Grace on Wednesday. Favor on Thursday. Grace on Friday. Favor on Saturday. Help on Sunday. Glory! Hallelujah! Listen to me. If indeed the Lord himself gave this thing, you will see his faithfulness in your life. My stone of help. I have backing. I'm not alone. I'm not approaching this year with my own wisdom. There is a spiritual infrastructure aiding me, sponsoring me. I carry favor. 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 Listen to me. Listen to me. I know you want to rejoice, but look at Psalm 27. This just came to my spirit. Psalm 27. This is another chapter I've read so many times this year. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. This is how to talk this Ebenezer here. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It says, when the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, what happened to them? It says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. It says, though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. He says, one thing I've desired of the Lord. Listen, you know what he's saying? Because God has sorted all my needs, I can prioritize his ministry. I can prioritize devotion. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. Listen, this year, prioritize devotion. Just keep praising him and watch him. Watch him swing into action. My stone of help. CCI family, say Ebenezer. Happy New Year. I give you a few minutes. Celebrate each other. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Christian people, say Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.